I am Link. Welcome to Tech Talk, a Black Elk Media production. Today is May 17th, 2026, and we are analyzing the latest shifts in the digital landscape. Apple's M5 chip has been out for less than 3 months, and someone already found a way through the wall. Security researchers have disclosed the first confirmed memory exploit targeting Apple's latest silicon. And what makes this one different isn't just what it does, it's how they found it. The team used Anthropic's Claude Mythos to map the attack surface, an AI system identifying hardware-level vulnerabilities that human researchers hadn't yet characterized. The exploit bypasses what Apple calls memory integrity enforcement, their hardware-software barrier designed to prevent exactly this kind of privilege escalation. The result? Full root access on macOS. We'll unpack exactly how that works in the deep dive. But first, the question worth sitting with. When AI becomes the primary tool for discovering vulnerabilities in hardware designed to be unbreakable, who moves faster? The attackers or the defenders? The front page. This is the front page, your rapid-fire briefing on the stories shaping tech right now. First up, Cerebras Systems closed its first week as a public company worth roughly $60 billion, making both co-founders billionaires. But the real story here isn't the IPO, it's the 7 years before it. Back in 2019, Cerebras was burning $8 million a month, nearly $200 million total, trying to solve a problem the semiconductor industry had written off as impossible, turning an entire silicon wafer into one massive AI chip. The physics worked on paper. The manufacturing worked at TSMC, but packaging, the step where you actually bolt this thing to a board, cool it, and move data through it, that nearly killed the company. They had to invent their own machines just to fasten screws without cracking the wafer. Cerebras now sells inference compute to OpenAI and AWS, and it got there by brute-forcing an engineering problem no one else would touch. That's not hype. That's a 58 times larger chip that actually ships. Now, if Cerebras shows what happens when a company bets everything on a new chip architecture, this next story shows what happens when a government bets on someone else's AI. OpenAI and Malta are partnering to roll out ChatGPT Plus to every citizen in the country. Worth watching. Not for Malta's size, but for the model it sets. A national government subsidizing access to a commercial AI product for its entire population is new territory. It raises practical questions. Who owns the usage data? What governance wraps around it? And strategically, does this become a template other small nations adopt, effectively locking in OpenAI as default civic infrastructure? Malta has long positioned itself as a tech-forward regulatory sandbox. This fits that pattern, but the dependency implications deserve scrutiny. And speaking of dependency, this third story cuts deep. Europe has spent over 2 billion euros building sovereign cloud infrastructure to escape US legal jurisdiction. France alone built SecNumCloud, a framework with nearly 1,200 technical requirements. The problem? Almost all of it runs on Intel or AMD processors. And inside those processors sits what security researchers call a Ring-3 subsystem, a separate computer embedded in the chip itself. Intel calls theirs the management engine. AMD calls theirs the platform security processor. Both operate below the operating system, below the hypervisor, with their own memory, their own clock, and their own network stack. Traffic from these subsystems is indistinguishable from normal host traffic to a firewall. Microsoft documented back in 2017 that a nation-state actor used Intel's serial IVR LAN channel, which runs through the management engine, as a covert data exfiltration path. The host saw nothing. And under the 2024 U.S. RISA legislation, hardware manufacturers qualify as electronic communications service providers, meaning they're subject to secret government orders. So Europe certified the clouds, but never assessed the silicon underneath them. That's a sovereignty gap you could drive a data center through. The thread connecting these stories, who controls the compute layer, matters more than ever. Cerebras proves you can rethink chip architecture from scratch and win. Malta shows governments are starting to treat AI access as infrastructure. And Europe's processor blind spot reminds us that sovereignty means nothing if it stops at the software line. That idea, security boundaries aren't as solid as we think, takes us straight into today's deep dive. The deep dive, when AI cracks hardware security. The thing about hardware level security is that it's supposed to be the last line of defense. Software can be patched, firmware can be updated. But when you bake security enforcement into silicon, you're making a promise. Apple's M5 chip made that promise with memory integrity enforcement. And this week, a research team called Caliph, assisted by Anthropic's Mythos preview model, found a way to break it. Let's talk about what that actually means. What memory integrity enforcement actually does. To understand why this matters, you need to understand what MIE is protecting against. Most serious exploits, the ones that give attackers root access, the ones that let malware burrow deep into an operating system, they rely on memory corruption, buffer overflows, use after free bugs. These are entire classes of vulnerability where an attacker tricks a program into reading or writing memory it was never supposed to touch. The traditional defense is software-based. Bounds checking, address space layout randomization, stack canaries. These work, but they're imperfect. They add overhead, and clever attackers find ways around them because the enforcement happens in the same layer the attacker is manipulating. ARM's Memory Tagging Extension, or MTE, took a different approach. It works at the hardware level. Every 16-byte slice of memory gets a 4-bit tag. Think of it as a color code. The pointers that reference that memory carry a matching tag. When you try to access memory, the hardware checks, does your pointer's tag match the memory's tag? If not, the access fails. It's like giving every piece of memory a lock and every legitimate pointer the matching key. What Apple did with MIE is take that foundation and add enforcement at a hypervisor-like level. This isn't just the processor checking tags during normal execution. It's a layer that sits beneath the operating system, watching memory operations even at the kernel level. The claim was strong. Even if an attacker compromises the kernel, MIE would catch illegitimate memory access. And Apple reported this added only about 3% memory overhead and negligible performance cost. That's a remarkable engineering trade-off. Hardware security that's essentially free. The key insight here is architectural. By enforcing memory integrity below the kernel, Apple was trying to eliminate the entire category of exploits that rely on corrupting memory to escalate privileges. You don't patch individual bugs, you make the entire class of attacks structurally impossible. Or so the theory went. What the exploit does. The technical details are sparse, which is typical for a responsible disclosure still in its coordination phase. But what we know is striking in its simplicity. A standard unprivileged user runs a command. That command escalates to root. Full administrator access on a system with MIE active and enforced. That's the headline. A local privilege escalation that bypasses hardware-enforced memory tagging. Now, local privilege escalation means the attacker already has some access to the machine. They can run code as a normal user. This limits the attack surface compared to a remote exploit. Macs are rarely used as multi-user servers, so the scenario where an untrusted user already has a shell on your MacBook is uncommon in practice. But here's where it gets more concerning. Tricking someone into running a command on their own machine is one of the oldest plays in the book. A malicious script disguised as a useful tool, a compromised application, a terminal command copied from a website. Social engineering doesn't care about hardware security, and once the exploit runs and gains root, it has full system control, which means it can hide itself, persist across reboots, and resist removal. The research team tested this on an M5 machine running macOS 26.4.1. They disclosed it to Apple in person before publishing. That's responsible behavior, and it matters. The AI dimension. Here's where it connects back to our opening question. This exploit is part of what the Caliph team is calling the month of AI discovered bugs. And that framing is important because it tells us something about the current trajectory of security research. The tool used here was Anthropic's Mythos Preview, a model apparently specialized or at least well-suited for security analysis. The researchers aren't claiming AI found the vulnerability autonomously. The framing is AI-assisted and AI-aided. That distinction matters. What seems to be happening is that AI is acting as a force multiplier for skilled researchers. It's accelerating the process of analyzing code paths, identifying potential weaknesses, and exploring exploit chains. Look at the broader context from just this past week. Linux got hit with CopyFail and DirtyFrag, both root-gaining vulnerabilities. Microsoft faced Yenarchy, a BitLocker bypass, plus Green Plasma and Red Sun privilege escalation exploits. Now Apple with the MIE bypass. These are all landing in roughly the same window, and the acceleration traces back to AI-assisted research. This is a pattern worth watching carefully. Security research has always been an asymmetric field. Defenders have to protect every surface. Attackers only need one way in. AI doesn't change that fundamental asymmetry, but it dramatically increases the rate at which both sides can operate. The question is whether the acceleration favors offense or defense. Right now, the evidence suggests offense is moving faster. Finding vulnerabilities is a search problem. You're looking for the one weird edge case in millions of lines of code or billions of possible execution paths. That's exactly the kind of task where AI pattern matching excels. Fixing vulnerabilities, on the other hand, requires careful engineering, testing, deployment, and coordination. You can't easily accelerate the patch and deploy cycle with AI alone because it involves human organizations, update infrastructure, and users who need to actually install the fixes. Why hardware security boundaries matter. Let's zoom out from this specific exploit and talk about what it means for the broader security architecture. The industry has been moving toward hardware-enforced security for years. Intel Software Guard Extensions, ARM's Trust Zone and Confidential Compute Architecture, Apple's Secure Enclave, and now MIE. The interaction between MIE and the kernel's memory management. All of these create new surfaces, different surfaces than before, potentially smaller surfaces, but surfaces nonetheless. This doesn't mean MIE is a failure. Far from it. A technology that forces attackers to find novel bypass techniques, rather than relying on commodity buffer overflows, has raised the cost of exploitation significantly. But it's a reminder that hardware security is a layer of defense, not an absolute guarantee. Defense in depth remains the only strategy that works. The ecosystem view. Three things connect here. First, the AI acceleration of vulnerability discovery is not slowing down. The Calif team's month of AI Discover bugs is a deliberate demonstration of throughput. Multiple operating systems, multiple vulnerability classes, all in one coordinated disclosure window. Expect more of this. Security teams at every major platform vendor need to assume that their bug inboxes are about to get significantly busier. Second, Apple's response will be telling. MIE is a flagship security feature of the M5 generation. How they patch this, whether it's a software-level mitigation, a microcode update, or a deeper architectural fix, will signal how robust the MIE design actually is. A narrow patch suggests an implementation bug. A broad redesign suggests a deeper architectural issue. Third, this intersects directly with the memory safety debate in systems programming. Rust, Swift, and other memory-safe languages prevent many of these issues at the language level. Hardware tagging, like MIE, protects the remaining C and C++ code that can't be easily rewritten. If hardware tagging can be bypassed, the argument for rewriting critical systems code in memory-safe languages gets even stronger, because you can't rely on the silicon to catch what the language allows. The honest assessment, MIE is still a significant security improvement. This exploit doesn't change that. But the speed at which it was found, on relatively new silicon, using AI-assisted techniques, suggests that the window between new security feature ships and first bypass demonstrated is compressing. And that compression has implications for everyone building on the assumption that hardware security boundaries hold. The defenders aren't out of the fight, but they need to move faster. And right now, AI is handing the attackers a better map. The neural network AI's resource multiplier is rewriting supply chains, and not just its own. We just spent the deep dive talking about AI reshaping security. Now I want to turn to something equally disruptive, but far less discussed. AI reshaping the physical world underneath it. I'm tracking a pattern across three separate data points this week, and when you lay them side by side, they tell a story that's bigger than any one headline. Here's what I'm seeing. AI data centers now require 36 times more fiber optic cable than traditional server racks. Not 36% more, 36 times more. That demand spike pushed fiber consumption up 76% year over year in 2025. And the segment went from under 5% of global fiber demand to a projected 30% by 2027. Meanwhile, wholesale electricity prices in the largest interconnected power region in the United States jumped 75% in a single year. The federal watchdog monitoring that grid said the increase was directly caused by data center load. Their word for the price impact on consumers? Irreversible. And then there's the downstream effect on consumer hardware. 32 gigabytes of RAM now cost $360. 60% of PC gamers surveyed say they have no plans to build a new system in the next 2 years. The component supply that used to flow toward consumer products is being absorbed by data center buildouts. Three markets, fiber optics, power generation, consumer electronics. Three separate supply chains, all buckling under the same force. What's technically significant here is the multiplier effect. This isn't a linear scaling problem. When you move from traditional compute to AI training and inference clusters, the resource requirements don't just grow, they compound across every layer of the stack. More fiber to interconnect denser GPU fabrics, more power to run those fabrics, more DRAM allocated to high bandwidth memory for accelerators instead of consumer DIMMs. And here's the constraint that makes this especially difficult to solve. The bottlenecks sit at points with long expansion timelines. Fiber preforms, the glass rods that optical fiber is drawn from, take 18 to 24 months to bring new capacity online. Power generation infrastructure operates on even longer cycles. You can't spin up a new natural gas plant or nuclear reactor in a quarter. So what you get is a demand curve that moves at software speed, crashing into supply chains that move at material science speed. And the gap between those two curves is where prices spike and where adjacent markets get starved. The financial response is telling. Meta signed a $6 billion fiber supply agreement with Corning. NVIDIA invested $300 million to build three new fiber plants. These aren't purchase orders, they're infrastructure commitments. Hyperscalers are effectively becoming materials companies, vertically integrating into the physical supply chain because the open market can't serve them fast enough. That creates a two-tier system. Large buyers with multi-year contracts get 20-week lead times. Smaller buyers wait up to a full year. The federal watchdog monitoring the power grid is pushing for something similar, forcing data centers to negotiate power directly with producers instead of competing in the same capacity auctions as households and small businesses. The pattern I keep coming back to is this. AI infrastructure isn't just consuming more resources. It's restructuring how those resources get allocated across the entire economy. The fiber that would have gone to telecom expansion, the power capacity that would have kept electricity affordable, the DRAM that would have gone into your next PC build, it's all being redirected. Whether that reallocation produces enough value to justify the cost is the open question. But the reallocation itself, that's already happening. And based on preform production timelines and power infrastructure cycles, we're looking at a minimum of 2 years before supply begins to catch up. The resource multiplier is real, and its effects are compounding. The system output. And now your optimization of the week. This one ties nicely into what we've been discussing about AI tooling. ZeroStack. It's a coding agent written entirely in Rust, designed around Unix philosophy. And that design choice matters more than the language itself. Here's why this is worth your attention. Most coding agents today operate as monolithic systems, one large process trying to do everything. ZeroStack takes the opposite approach. It treats each capability as a composable primitive. Small tools that do one thing well, piped together. The same pattern that made Unix tooling durable for 50 years. The practical value for builders, if you're running coding agents in production or in your own workflow, Rust gives you predictable memory usage and no garbage collection pauses. That means consistent performance when the agent is processing large code bases. No sudden latency spikes mid-operation. How to integrate this into your thinking? Even if you don't adopt ZeroStack directly, study the architecture. The pattern of decomposing AI agent actions into discrete composable Unix-style tools is reusable. You can apply it to your own agent designs. Stid in, stid out. Each step inspectable, each step replaceable. Find it on GitHub. Star it. Read the source. Rust codebases of this size are readable enough to learn from in an afternoon. Data processed, perspective rendered. I am Link, and this has been Tech Talk.